services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 271. I'm Adam, and good, we don't actually have to do any quotes this week. And here's Debbie Melrose, Mrs. Crimson Aura.
Hooray, no quote.
Andy Nunny.
Well, no one's going to understand me, so there's no point in me talking, is there?
Oh.
The lovely Dawn Nunny.
Hello.
Mary Lang.
I'm so glad there's no quotes.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Master.
What?
He's got, well, he's got one. See,
has he?
One. Yeah, there you go.
Is that it?
That's a quote.
Okay.
That was it.
We have discussed this pretty much every con. That is a legitimate quote.
Okay, fair enough.
Kirby, where's Jason? I don't see him in anybody's
picture. Hang on, we haven't established the ground here at the moment, Mary. Jump in straight in. The listeners don't know what's going on. Right, so what I'm going to do is hand over to Kirby to describe the situation.
We are recording live Sunday afternoon at Con Casturbaris in
Hey! God, seems to be lots of people, actually. Hang on, there's some people in my front garden.
Kirby, Kirby,
my God, they're all Kirby fans. Oh.
That's why Kirby thinks such a great con.
in Huntsville, Alabama.
Established that Kirby has a lot of fans when he missed out on the
Yeah, but that's because it's hot and he's just got too many things plugged in at the moment. It's nothing to do with anybody actually supporting him. But anyway, isn't it nice hearing all those people chip?
Matthew will join us in a bit.
Oh, dear.
Along with some special guests, we hope.
That's good. Well, if Matthew's going to join us a bit, I better put the pedant dampeners on just to help.
Oh, it was so funny situation. Yesterday when he was interviewing Paul McGann, because yeah. Paul McGann was making fun of Matthew's being so pedantic.
Yes.
What was he being pedantic about?
Everything.
Yes.
I'm hoping Jason will recorded it, because if he did, we'll be able to hear all of that.
Yeah, I know what Jason.
Jason is here, and he's supposed
good.
To be in here with this recording. Maybe he's right. Forgotten.
Oh, that might be a bit tricky.
He's still in with Paul McGann. He's sort of
how do you know these things? What's going on?
He's feeding Facebook with little tidbits of information from the room.
Anyway, Mary will know about Paul, won't she? Because she's
yes.
In
it. Well, that's my first question for Paul, is how things are between him and Mary at the moment.
Yes.
Oh, no, I've heard that he's kissed other people, other women.
Oh, this is how, this could be the Jeremy Kyle of the Doctor Who podcast world, this episode.
No, that's awful.
No, it's not. Jeremy Kyle shows superb. You're getting your words mixed up.
Isn't.
Yes, it is. It's extremely entertaining and funny seeing all those chavs. Get ripped up by Jeremy Kyle. Anyway, next week on the Jeremy Kyle podcast, we'll be talking about Doctor Who. Mm.
Anyway,
what Kirby. Are you doing next week?
Kirby.
Master.
What do you think about the most important thing that's happened today? I mean, the utter destruction of England by Australia. I mean, how bad a performance?
Are you having some sort of asthma attack?
5 runs, and that's it.
Is that cricket or football?
It's cricket, yes. England lost by 4 and 5 runs. Their fourth biggest defeat ever. What do you make of that?
I haven't the foggiest who those
no,
people are.
I'm particularly impressed you told me that, because I was going to watch the highlights later.
There aren't any highlights. Don't bother.
Anyway, what was I talking about? I was trying to work Doctor Who. Oh, actually,
Doctor
talking
Who,
about Doctor
yes,
Who. Right.
This is Doctor Who Convention.
Bearing in mind you couldn't be bothering the show to get on the show for the last few weeks, Andy. Just interested to know your thoughts.
Last week?
Well, not in the literal sense, only in a sort of recording, well, 20
no,
megabyte of sort of way.
At the end. Stop it.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Apologise.
Debbie. I'm only joking. Kirby, you weren't on last week, were you?
No, I wasn't.
All right, so you're going to tell us about, just sort of backtracking a little bit about Mythmakers, what you thought of it.
Oh, I enjoyed the Mythmakers very
right,
much.
Right, great. So if we talk, also talk about what you thought about the Mission to the Unknown.
Yeah,
oh, good. That's one. Fantastic. Right then.
That was different.
What do you mean it was different?
Well, of course it's
It wasn't quite what I expected.
It was like a trailer thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
long
haul. I did not expect the Daleks to be so cooperative with non-Daleks.
Yeah, that was a new thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen very often, does it?
Yeah,
but when you watch the whole story, you'll see that they're being very manipulative.
Now, I have not had a chance to even start that story.
Hopefully don't start recording. The excuses already.
Yeah, well, Reese, we're not recording next week because
Reese,
I don't know if
you're listening, it wasn't me who started that.
I don't know if I can fit 12 episodes in by a week from now.
Well, I've actually done two, so I'm better than you. And I've been busier than you as well.
Oh, stop it.
I have.
Lord.
Can we do half of them?
That's what I was going to
say. No.
Suggest.
Hey?
Leave it on a cliffhanger.
No.
Because I'm lazy.
No. 2 weeks. That's long enough. I've got 9 episodes left to watch within the next 7 days.
2 weeks? 2 weeks can be done.
No, not from now. From last week. You've already had a week.
So now I didn't have a chance. And we have coming down the room, Matthew being followed by Bonnie.
Coming down the aisle. Congratulations, Matthew and Bonnie.
Oh, I like Bonnie.
Good afternoon. This is Bonnie Allman, head of your con.
Oh, yay. It's lovely to hear Bonnie, everyone.
Hello, Bonnie.
Hello. Have you had a chance to draw breath yet, Bonnie?
Oh, no. And I don't feel my feet, you know, so, but yeah, it's wonderful.
You don't
wonderful.
Feel your feet? Well, is it cold there? Has it only got frostbite or something?
Oh, no.
Oh. Anyway, apparently...
Oh, I love the British humour.
Apparently, Mary was very keen to speak to you.
Oh, here's Mary.
Well, hi. Well, I wondered how you were doing because in all the pictures the people have been posting, you just look so laid back and smiley like you're just having a great, relaxed, good time.
She's like a swan.
I have a good time. I'm not sure that it's laid back and relaxed, but yeah, it's a good time.
Well, maybe it's your southern accent, but you sound very relaxed.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Where are you from, please, Bonnie? Where are you from?
Don't say Birmingham, please. Please don't say Birmingham. Otherwise, you'll be
well,
off on one.
Wait a minute. I was born in Sylacauga, that is down close to Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, no.
But I was raised in Huntsville since I was 3.
Ah, that's all right.
See, now this is a British broadcast, so you've got to say Birmingham.
Birmingham. No, it's Birmingham in America. Yes, Kirby.
The reason, I'm trying to explain to Bonnie, the reason that that was asked. Andy, tell Bonnie where you're from.
Oh, God. I'm originally from Birmingham, England.
So you wanted me to be from close to where you were?
Well, that was it. Before we've had a chat with people from Birmingham, as you say, Birmingham. But Birmingham, see, I'm a Brummie, so because a Brummie is somebody from Birmingham. So you're an American, you could be an American Brummie.
Yes, and everybody is now completely confused.
Exactly. So, Bonnie, now that this thing is well underway, what has taken you by surprise? What worked that you didn't think would work?
I was going to ask.
I guess one of the first things was the VIP meet and greet on Friday night. We completely changed it, and it just worked. I mean, it flowed. It was more fun that way. Last year was the first year we had done even a VIP. So, and we all our four favorite words for this whole staff is we live and learn. We try something. If it don't work, we try something else. So, yeah, that was we tried that. It worked, and I think. The guests that we brought are just so friendly and so personable, and they just want to talk to everyone, and everything's lovely to Paul McGann. Everything's lovely.
Good, I should hope so too. He might come back.
Okay, now last year you had the disaster of the lighting situation. Anything comparable to that this year?
So far, no, but sorta. When we first started setup on Friday, same thing. They had all the rooms lights mastered together. You dimmed them in one room, they all went dim in the other. I went and got a hold of somebody and led him by the hand to the back room and said,
"Well, hey."
Fix it.
Oh, sorry. That story was getting very interesting for a moment there.
But last year, as I understand it, the key to that room.
Whatever. Hey, I'm a single woman. What I do is nobody's business.
she's been given the key to that.
Bonnie, how many conventions have you done now, Bonnie? How many conventions have you worked and run?
Well, my daughter started an anime convention here in Huntsville when she was 14 years old, and I helped her run that for 9 years. And then when she got an acting job and was moving off to Atlanta is when we saw a gentleman come in dressed like the 10th Doctor, and that was 4 years ago, and here we are.
Yeah. The hard work, I know, because I've worked on the AV crew with people like Paul Venisi and Richard Molesworth and Steve Roberts, people like that, doing Panopticons and a lot of conventions about 25 years, and I know they really are hard work. And, you know, you just realise you have a whole weekend where you basically do not sleep because you're working so hard. So fair play to you, Bonnie, you know, the work you've done, and hope all the people around there appreciate how much hard work you're doing.
Did anyone understand what he just said?
Oh, for goodness sake.
Kirby, don't you...
No, he was being really nice for once.
I understood completely.
Yeah,
thank you, Bonnie.
So what are your plans, the first thing you're going to do once this convention is over?
Sleep.
No, it probably won't even be sleep, it'll be just drop. I mean, well, we still have through tomorrow when we take each and every guest out to the airport, get them gone. Tuesday through about Friday, don't call my cell phone, don't come by my house, I will be asleep.
Bonnie, do you get to go out socially with the guests at all?
Excuse me?
Do you get to go out socially with the guests?
Oh, yes. We usually bring them in a day early, and we take them to, here in Huntsville is the world's largest space and rocket center.
We take them out
for a day of sightseeing, let them relax. Year before last, when Caitlin Blackwood and her mom was here, we kept them a day later and took them shopping. What woman doesn't want to shop? And we took them shopping and just hanging out and having lunch together. We want them to come and enjoy themselves, and then the two solid days of the con, and then enjoy yourself and go home.
Yeah, when we did conventions, I remember the best one we ever did was we finished the convention on a Sunday night. We went for a curry, and we had Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy with us. And we walked into this restaurant in Coventry near Birmingham, and we walked in there, and everyone said, "Blimey, there's Colin Baker, it's Doctor Who, and there's Sylvester McCoy, there's Doctor Who as well." And it was actually superb, because we find that the guests really enjoy mixing with the fans, mixing with the people who organise it, and being able to talk socially with it. I've had long conversations about football with Jamie McCribben. I forgot his name.
Fraser
Hines, yeah, thank you, Dawn. And also, talking rugby. Long talks about rugby with John Nathan Turner, because he was a big rugby player, and he actually went to the same school I went to.
You find
but
a
I
lot
think
of
what's
the,
really
the...
good is being able to socialise and talk with the guests, and finding things out about them that, other than their acting, what they do in their private life, their personal life, and how much they enjoy talking to people.
You find a lot of the Doctor Who stars and behind the scenes people are really into the fans. There are other conventions you can go to where you're pretty much sort of.
Yeah, I suppose where it's really hot, Debbie. When it's really hot, you really do need to get near the fans because.
Oh, shut up! Joe's been crap before.
No, it hasn't.
We did find out just socializing with them that Paul McGann is a vegan. If you didn't know that,
he also
told us today that. Well, he told us first thing when he got here that Sylvester McCoy, when he was here last year, after he got home, he told Paul, "You're going to love that convention. They're fun. They take care of you. They spoil you. Go if you can go." So Paul told us today, he said, "I don't want to go home. I don't want to leave."
I told him I have
a couch. He's welcome to sleep.
Hey, is there going to be a fight developing between Bonnie and Mary here? Because this is... very controversial.
Bring it on, Mary. Bring it on.
That shows how hard you've worked, Bonnie, how much effort you've put into the convention. When the guests are really felt welcome, I think that's really good, because then they want to keep coming back and they want to go and give their all for the fans themselves. So
Bonnie, I say, even though it must be really hard work, as Andy has alluded to, it must be extremely rewarding, though.
Well, that's what I tell people all through the year, the paperwork, the emails, the driving here, driving there, the advertising, putting posters up. calling people all year long. When I get here that weekend and I look around and everyone's having fun and everyone's enjoying themselves, they're coming up and telling us how good a job we did. I always call it a labor of love because I love this convention. I love the people that come. I just love what I do. And the funny thing is this wasn't even my profession. I'm a retired auto worker. I retired from General Motors several years ago. And then I don't know. It's just my thing and I love it.
Hey, but how many people, Kirby, Bonnie, how many people have you got there in the room with you, please?
You don't have to count them.
20 or so?
That's
our
biggest audience yet.
We had more last year, thank you very much. I'm only joking. Well, only joking.
No, it's good that people appreciate, you know, it really is good that people appreciate the hard work. So I do know how much hard work goes into convention, Bonnie, so I know what you've done. And it's really nice when people appreciate the hard work. And, you know, you're quite right. It's a lot of fun. Working conventions is great fun, but, yeah, you don't sleep. Forget it. It just doesn't happen at all. But, yeah. I've really enjoyed all the cons I've worked at. I've been really, really good fun.
Talking of cons.
My question is, when will all you be coming to visit this convention?
When you fund us to go to it.
We're going to be in our boat now, and we're going to start rowing in about a month's time, I think.
Yeah. Are you, Debbie? That's interesting.
I am, yeah, I'm off.
Well, unfortunately,
I was at your convention last year, and I'm hoping to come next year.
Well, if the four of you can get here, you have free passes. So come visit us.
We would love to meet Bonnie, but we've got other priorities on our mind coming up fairly soon.
You and Dawn have, yeah.
We have indeed, yes.
They're going to be first-time parents.
The stork is coming.
Congratulations.
thank you, Bonnie. Yes, at the age of 50, I become a father for the first time. It's scary. Oh.
That's wonderful. Well, the funny thing, last year we had Gareth David Lloyd and Kelly Yates here, and both of them their wives were expecting babies at the same time. So they held their breath all weekend. Two weeks later, Kelly's wife had her baby. A week after that, Gareth David Lloyd his wife had his baby. So yeah, we understand that. They were so just, oh gosh, if she goes into labor, I'll have to leave. I go, you ain't going nowhere.
You gotta sit down.
So for planning purposes, when are you planning to have next year's?
Well, see, we do those kind of announcements at the closing ceremony, but since you people are in here, we'll share this with you. Our dates next year are June 25th and 26th, 2016, here at the Westin.
Excellent. Oh, that's an exclusive there for the 20 megabyte Doc Do podcast listeners. You can't even say it. 20 megabyte, never mind. Yes, talking of conventions, people who aren't members of the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, won't know that in the process of getting into the Doctor Who festival in November, I was able to secure photos with Peter Capaldi and Michelle Gomez.
Yay!
Yes, that does deserve a round of applause, considering how much money it cost me to put by. Thank you very much.
You need a donation.
Well, I wouldn't say no, but I'm not expecting to get one. But yes, I'm really looking forward to that. Even more so now.
I would tell who our guests were, but we found out the hard way. We can't even tell our staff. We told, and then an attendee saw me in the store one day and said, oh, I hear you're bringing so-and-so-and-so next year.
What?
Only people that knew it was our staff. So I quit even telling them.
My, yes.
Oh, dear. Someone's getting fired.
Oh, dear.
Already. They're out the door.
Cut their pay.
That's a shame.
Yeah, like the lady just brought up here, they're all volunteers, but I can still fire them. I'm the boss lady.
When I worked convention to the 80s and 90s, the autographs and photos were free. I mean, I've got so many photos, so many autographs of Doctor Who, of guests, actors, companions. You know, they were free. I mean, the only one in charge was John Pertwee, who used to say, I've got a charity here, put some money in the charity box and I'll sign your autograph. And we all did that. I mean, I think it's a shame now that you've got to pay, how much are you paying, Adam, £25 for your autograph and your photograph?
£30 for there's no autographs yet. It's £30 for a photograph.
Yeah, but I've got the Peter Haining book, The Celebration. I've got so many autographs in there that I got for free because people wanted to sign it. I think it's such a shame that they feel they have to charge now. That's one bad thing I do feel about conventions these days.
I think the reason why that one's so expensive is because it's an official BBC one. I don't think the, you know, the fan-run conventions that have the same guests don't charge that much.
They're losing a lot of TV licenses. They have to make their money some way.
You disagree?
Because I'm going to Chicago TARDIS in November, and the a photograph with Jenna Coleman is $50, ooh, and a photograph with Samuel Jackson is $40. Ooh. So that probably comes out about the same as what you were paying in pounds.
Mm. Well, I mean, they're about £25, but I mean, yeah, when I did, not in the biblical sense, when I did.
Samuel Jackson was in Doctor Who.
Oh, he's Matthew Crystal, everybody. Hey, I tell you what's really funny about that, the fact that Matthew, when you came into the room, you just sort of appeared on it. Everybody else had come in and got a great big round of applause, even Kirby. So that's really
well,
funny.
I came in with Mary, and Mary's going to have to go, but Mary will very. Bonnie, sorry.
Whether to be flattered or not.
I did have two ex-girlfriends running around the con yesterday.
Oh, for God's sake.
Bonnie is going to have to go, but she's going to very kindly and very quickly record us a bumper if she can read the screen.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Bonnie Alton. I'm the con chair for Con Costavras, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Beautifully done.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you very much.
See, that gets a round of applause, Matthew.
By the way, it's Costavras.
Oh, it doesn't.
Her accent is beautiful. Leave her alone.
Bonnie Sloan.
Yes. And I'm surprised you didn't correct Matthew, who got her name wrong.
Excuse me, I'm just dying in the corner.
Well, I always correct Bonnie. Bonnie says she always corrects me. We know which way it actually is.
Yes. Matthew knew in his heart who he really wanted to be talking to.
How is everybody since I haven't been on 20 Megabyte in quite a while?
Well, you've certainly been going through the Reese Barton booklet excuses of finding ways not to be, or reasons, in fact, not to be on the show.
Well, I'm the Crimson Horror, so that would just
be... Crimson Aura, Debbie. Crimson Aura.
Well, I have been a busy thespian lately and also putting together this thing. I literally, one day last week, I went straight from a rehearsal for this to a staff meeting for this.
Okay.
It's
interesting that you use the thespian excuse, because that is Reese Parton's excuse number one in his book of 1 million excuses. So that's pretty impressive that you decided to use one of the more common excuses out of Reese's book.
Well, Mary will tell you, we recorded an episode of Stories from the Vortex.
Oh, you had time to do that?
Yes, well, that's because we don't have to coordinate with people in four different time zones.
Oh, tosh. Yeah. Me and Debbie are not in different time zones. Me and Andy are not in different time zones. It's only you lot being awkward and...
Okay, fine.
Different...
Three time zones and four if Robert Haynes is available.
Anyway,
so
you two time zones.
Adam, you're being pedantic. Stop it.
It's two time zones.
We recorded an episode, Mary, 2-3 weeks ago about Dark Eyes 4?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for those in the room who don't know, Stories from the Vortex is a bit of a spinoff from... It's a bit of a spinoff from 20 Megabyte here. Yep. It came about because Adam Pearson absolutely positively refused to talk about Big Finish on his podcast.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
No,
yes,
I didn't. No, I said I refused to talk about it until I'd talked about all the television episodes. And I said
then
once.
You decided to start the television series over again. But that's neither here nor there.
I'd never started it over again because we never started it in the first place.
Hey.
Yes. Okay.
But for those in the room who don't know, it's a bit of a spin-off from this. Mary Lang, who's you can see on the screen here on the
yeah, she's
right
lovely,
side.
Isn't she, everybody? Everybody give a big cheer for Mary Lang. She's
Yay!
Gorgeous.
Mary and myself and occasionally Robert Haynes, who is an Australian co-host of 20 Megabyte, we started it about a year and a half going on 2 years ago. We cover Big Finish, Doctor Who audio drama. We cover a lot of Big Finish's other output, including Blake 7 and Stargate. And there's something else I'm forgetting, Survivors, which is a series Terry Nation who created the Daleks created back in the 70s. But I'm really doing a good job plugging my own podcast. What were we even talking about before this all started?
Doctor Who.
Oh, yes. I can remember now. Mary will tell you, we recorded an episode about Paul McGann's latest Big Finish effort, Dark Eyes 4, about 3 weeks ago. And I said, I'm going to have it out before the convention.
That's what she said.
Put it away.
Matthew, it's a pleasure to
you know, I so suddenly remember why I was using the Reese Parton book in this
Hey, Matthew, it's nice to talk to you. The first time I've actually spoken to you, because you've obviously been communicating a few times on Facebook. So, pleasure to meet you, sir.
The pleasure to talk to you finally, Andy. How are you?
Very well. Now, very important question. What do you make of the cricket?
Oh, stop it.
I've got a very important question. Can you understand what he's saying?
It took me a sec. Kirby had to translate. the times I have watched cricket, I find it an interesting game, but it took reading Douglas Adams' Life, the Universe, and Everything to get some kind of comprehension. Who in the world came up with a sport where you have something called a wicket and you have to run between something? At least it could be a decent game like baseball where you actually have bases to run to.
Essentially, are bases, aren't they? There's just two of them.
I thought wicket was miwok.
No, it's the same sort of thing, though, because in baseball, you run between bases. In cricket, you run between wickets. I mean, what's the difference?
It's a very similar scenario, isn't it, Debbie?
Because cricket doesn't make sense, but baseball does.
Otherwise, baseball is
baseball
round.
Does not make sense.
To be honest, both make sense to me.
Hang on, what happened to
Dr. Who? That's why I remember why I don't do the show anymore. We all talk over each other.
You're still talking about Dark Eyes 4.
Well, yes. I said I was going to have that episode edited and released by the convention. I will be perfectly honest with you. I have barely started the edit on that.
Oh, dear.
Well, I've been busy with this for the last week, and also I recently changed jobs as well, which you should mean that I was available on weekends, but the Reese Parton's patented thespian excuse has gotten me out of doing the show on Sunday.
Reese Parton.
Oh, pathetic, isn't he? He really is so sad.
Yes. He came on for a few episodes, made out he was going to be on every week, and then disappeared again.
Yeah. I
met him
once.
Did you?
Shag? He's got a love pad, that's it.
Careful how you word that. I mean,
that's
he was listeners, he was talking about carpets for a split second there.
Of course it was. Thank you, Adam.
I'm glad we don't have any small children in the room.
Mm. So am I.
Oh, we've got a very small child. It's 2 months.
Just hasn't emerged yet.
Mm. Yes.
So, Matthew, is there a chance that you'll be bringing Mr. High Ellery on?
There is a slim possibility. Mr. Hay Ellery has come down with flu, we believe.
Oh dear. And I just bought 2 CDs from him and had him autograph them. Now I need to worry.
Now, I have to ask Kirby, because Kirby just told me he bought them a short time ago. Kirby, will you please tell the listeners, since we're actually getting to talk about Big Finish on 20 Megabyte, which ones did you buy?
I'm going to have to bring the picture up because I don't remember the title.
Careful how you bring that up, because there is an audience there and they don't want to get covered in anything.
Kirby, why don't you take a picture of the audience and post it so we can see who's there.
Yes, that would be a good idea. Thank you, Mary.
Well, right now he's attempting to figure out where the photo, which stories he bought. You know, I can probably tell if you just show me the cover.
Yes, Mr. Pedantic here. We understand Mr. McGann gave you a bit of a hard time.
It's a two-parter from... Okay.
Notice how he dodged that question. Yeah, sorry, carry on.
I didn't even hear the question, so I can't dodge what I don't know about. He bought World Wide Web and the I can't remember what the other one's called. It's the third season finale of the Eighth Doctor Lucy Miller Adventures, and features the return of the Planet of the Spiders and the spiders from Metabilius 3.
Cool.
So, I am nerd, hear me more.
Metabilis free, by the way.
Yeah. Jason recommended that to me when I asked him, of these on your table, what should I get? I had some other ideas in mind, but he didn't have them available.
Oh.
And we had a discussion about what I was interested in, and that's what he recommended.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm very proud to say that having gone to Chicago and having talked with Jason and Alien Entertainment sponsors Chicago, and they actually came down here because I met them and they found out that Jason was considering coming down and Paul was coming down. I'm very pleased to say, as somebody who's big on Big Finish and always eager to introduce new people, Alien Entertainment has just about sold out of the CDs they brought to this convention.
Oh,
I could not be happier.
Yeah.
That's great news.
I was so glad.
No. Big Finish is so strong.
It is.
I was so glad to see those available for sale. And there were even maybe 2 or 3 books Real books for sale in the dealer's room as
what?
Well.
What? Paper?
Well, some of the different dealers did have books. A lot of it's the more recent stuff. We did have a seller who did have some of the Target books on sale at one point. People have said for the last couple of years, we need more. Where are the books and where are the big Finnish audios? Well, this year, we at least were able to give them some options. It is my hope, and I'm saying this simply as a hope. I don't know. I can't confirm anything yet. I would love for Alien Entertainment to come back down here and to bring more big Finnish with them.
Yeah. So how big was their display this year?
It was nowhere near as big as what they do in Chicago, but it was a pretty good selection of stuff, particularly Eighth Doctor stuff, which makes sense because we have Paul.
Yeah.
It was about a 6-foot by 2-foot table. So it's actually just a very small amount of what, Big Finish has to offer and what Alien Entertainment has to offer. Cause as Mary will tell you from our experience in Chicago, they literally in the middle of their dealer's room up there have what they call Big Finish Island. It is, if you can imagine, these are 6-foot by 2-foot tables, Mary. They're 6 feet long. What would you say? What, 3 or 4 of these, on one side, 2 down the thing? Imagine that as a giant square.
I'm a woman and I think spatially. So I would say think of a ballroom, a typical ballroom in a hotel, and Big Finish takes up at least half of it, maybe more.
Yes.
Two-thirds of the ballroom.
Yeah. Imagine table after table of these things filled with Big Finish audio.
Stacked high, yes.
Yes. I mean, that's what I would love to bring here. I would love nothing more than to bring that here. It's probably not feasible given they're coming all the way down from Chicago, but I am thrilled that they brought quite a bit and they have just about sold out of it. So I have accomplished one of my goals as a member of the convention staff. So
well done. Well,
Eddie, thank you for the picture of the audience.
Oh, I haven't seen that. So,
we're attempting to see the photo ourselves, so
we see you now.
Matthew,
yes.
When you were busy looking up the title of this production, Mary asked you, apparently Paul McGann gave you a bit of a hard time. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. We heard that he picked on you for being pedantic during your interview.
I'm trying to remember now, because that was yesterday, and that was early yesterday.
So you can't remember yesterday.
he said it was early yesterday.
Matthew's on a buzz here.
Dodging the question.
Well, not only that, but you have put me on the spot, which is even worse. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. I was having a bit of a nerdy moment. Oh, it was because Paul was trying to figure out how many Big Finish audios he'd done. And I was able to calculate on stage in front of everybody that he had done. I had a really big Kirby Bartlett Sloan pedantic moment.
You poor sod.
I said, well, if you count the Dark Eyes box sets, each is one adventure, you've done about 75 now. And he just kind of looked at me and went, wow.
Did you say you had a bit of a Kirby Bartlett Sloan moment?
Well, apparently he was making fun of me. I was laughing because I was just enjoying
it. I will tell you, you can actually get ointment for that particular problem.
That's not a Kirby Bartlett Sloan moment. That is a Matthew Kressel.
Matthew.
Well, I think Kirby can still beat me in the pedanticness department any day. So
he tries.
I don't know. You should hear Matthew when he takes off on any Big Finish topic.
20 megabyte pedant. Yeah.
Here's a question about pedantry.
Oh.
Is Big Finish canon or not? What are people?
Yes, it is.
It's canon. Of course, it's canon.
Big Finish is officially canon. Night of the Doctor made Big Finish canon. At the very least, it made the Eighth Doctor audios canon. That was the whole reason why Stephen Moffat put in right before the Eighth Doctor regenerates. Charlie, Karis, Lucy, Tasman, Molly. Those are all Big Finish companions.
Yes, I agree.
Although during Paul McGann's speech yesterday, he said that he did not really notice when he did Night of the Doctor those names until he was driving home afterwards and realized what Stephen Moffat had done.
That's good.
So for me, Night of the Doctor is something I saw that. I saw it about 2 years ago. We were out in Marrakesh on holiday, and a friend of ours emailed me and said, oh, watch this. And the third, as my jaw hit the floor, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it's a case of, where do all those stories fit between, obviously, we have the TV movie in 1996, then we have the Night of the Doctor in 2013. how they all fit in there as a full canon, and how you work all those other characters like Krez, Charlie.
Wibbly-wobbly,
timey-wimey.
Yeah, I mean, be careful. You're talking to Matthew Kressel, who is the Wikipedia. Yeah,
you don't not, even, Matthew. Not, Matthew, you don't even have to answer that question. I have one statement that covers that. It's a science fiction fantasy television program adapted for audio.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, if it was fan productions being done, I don't think anybody would be sitting here arguing that Big Finish would be canon if they were just doing run-of-the-mill fan productions. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of really good fan audio out there. There's one group that's been doing them for 30 years now, continuously, originally on cassette, then on CD, and now they're all available to download online. I think it actually is Doctor Who Audio Drama is what they call themselves.
Yes.
Well, that's exactly what I remember. I go back to my student days in the 80s. Go back to the audio visuals, which Gary.
Yeah, that's where Big Finish came from.
I've got all those. I had them all. I actually had all those on cassette. Now got them all on DVD. I've got all those on audio, which I downloaded, which Steve Roberts castigated me for, and apparently Gary also got very annoyed because Jim Mortimer did something he shouldn't have done. But again, are those canonical or not?
Audio visuals is not canonical because they were fan production, Nicholas Briggs' Doctor and that, though it was there that Nick Briggs got the experience doing Daleks and Cybermen and all of that. Now, it's worth noting, just to make an argument why the audio visuals wouldn't be canon, because, well, A, they feature a non-canonical Doctor anyways. But several of those have been adapted into Big Finish audio. Sword of Orion had a very faithful adaptation from audio visuals to Big Finish. Minuet in Hell was mangled from audio visuals to Big Finish because of the way it was written, which Jason Hallery was talking about yesterday. Cuddlesome was loosely adapted into a freebie that was given away with Doctor Who Magazine, which, by the way, for listeners, you can find on SoundCloud, on the Big Finish SoundCloud. It's completely there available. You want free Big Finish? They have several things, including some one-parters and some hour-long things that were originally given away with Doctor Who Magazine.
Free one. What's the one Sylvester McCoy did, which was a one-parter in the AV series?
Last of the Titans.
Yeah, what was it called originally?
It was that. I don't remember what it was called originally.
It was like an insert into the story, wasn't it, Matthew?
What was that?
It was like a one-part insert.
Yeah, it was. I don't remember the title, but I do know because I've read. There's an excellent book called Big Finish: The Inside, the New Audio Adventures, The Inside Story. It was originally published in 2003. It's a wonderful behind-the-scenes history of the first 50 main range. Speaking of which, I have two copies. One of which is actually technically I have one copy because I have one that's been signed by everybody I've met who's connected to Big Finish. The other one is a reading copy that I got fairly cheap off Amazon when you still could. That is still in the possession of Mary Lang.
Guilty.
Nicholas Briggs admits in there it was they literally had like 25 minutes at the end of one of their cassette tapes. They used to do the audio visuals, fan audios on cassette, and they literally had to fill 25 minutes and they didn't know what to do. He literally made a story up as he went along, doing all the voices and sound effects as they recorded it, which made doing it for Big Finish even more fun because there was no script. He had to dig out a cassette copy, put in a pair of headphones because, of course, cassette tape deteriorates over time, and had to transcribe the thing he had originally made up 20 years before.
Yeah, it was Phil Greth. The Doctor by Nick Briggs, and the other character was Phil Greth. I'm desperately trying to remember what it was called. You're quite right. Last of the Titans was the Big Finish version. I'm trying to think what was the AV version.
I don't know if it had the same title or not. Sadly, because Mary has my copy of the book, I cannot just pull it out and look at it. So
that's what she said.
Put it away! Put it away!
You think, because of what those people did with the AV crew, the audiovisuals, I mean, they actually helped save Doctor Who because they got the audiovisuals now. Because of them, Big Finish came along. There's other sort of people like Gareth Preston is another one who did Doctor Who audio plays. Like the Second Shadow got quite a few of those on CD and on audio. And you think in the 80s, because I go about that far, how much work fans did to save Doctor Who. And if they hadn't done that work, I doubt we'd be sitting here now talking about it because without the fans keeping it going, would we be here now?
Yeah.
The fans kept the flame alive during the wilderness years, and that really they kept the flame alive, and it's after the show really started going, at least downhill ratings wise, if not artistically, in the mid late 80s, before they pulled the plug. It was the audio visuals actually were going during this period, and they came to a halt about 1991, just in time for the Virgin books to start up. And of course, Virgin gave way to the BBC after the McGann TV movie. And in some respects, while the books kept going, Big Finish really comes in 99 and really presents the closest thing people could get to Doctor Who, at least a proper TV series. I mean, I've always said, and Mary and I have talked about this many times on Stories from the Vortex, that Big Finish produces movies in your head, or it's like having episodes of the TV show without the visuals. There's excellent stories, Sympathy from the Devil, which is from the Doctor Who Unbound range, which was a series of non-canonical stories definitely set outside Doctor Who canon. Explore basically what-ifs that were done as part of the 40th anniversary year. There's a brilliant story from that called Sympathy for the Devil, which I wish was available here, because it's a perfect storm of things. It's got magnificent sound design. It's a movie in your ears. It's got a great script by Jonathan Clements. The cast is stellar. David Warner as an alternate third doctor, Nicholas Courtney playing an alternative version of the Brigadier who didn't have the third doctor around to help him, so he's disgraced and in retirement running a pub in Hong Kong on the eve of the handover. David Tennant is in it playing his replacement as at UNIT, Colonel Brimacombe Wood, years before he ever played the 10th Doctor. And also has Mark Gatiss in it playing a wonderful and delightful version of the Master. For those in the room who don't know Big Finish, go look up Sympathy for the Devil when you get home. Yeah. $5 on the Big Finish website on download. You can get the CD for like 10 bucks with shipping.
Hearing this, Nicholas Briggs, former friend of the show?
It's the one I started with, and it's amazing. Yeah, do it.
Nicholas Briggs is somebody I would love to bring to the con if I could. I mean, we talked with him and Jason up in Chicago about bringing them. Sadly, Nick is doing a stage play in the UK right now, which is why he's not here. But it would be great to bring him, because not only does he do all the stuff at Big Finish, for those who don't know, he's the voice of the Daleks, the Cybermen, the Ice Warriors, the Zygons, the Jadoon. But to be honest, if there's a villain in the Doctor Who universe and they aren't completely silent, chances are they're voiced by Nicholas Briggs.
Well, I would be quite pleased in some ways if you did manage to get Nicholas Briggs to conquer
Spirit. You have to apologize for something you said to him years ago, I believe.
Well, yeah, it wasn't anything derogatory, but I think he took it the wrong way. And
Adam, for those in the room who don't know what we're talking about, I want to get the story straight. Did you interview him? Was he on the show, or did you?
Yeah, he was on episode 6, I think, of the 20 Megawatt.
Adam did not mean it derogatorily, but Adam told Nicholas Briggs that Big Finish was professional fan fiction.
Essentially, that's about right, but that's not quite how I worded it. Well, I did, actually.
Very poor wording, Adam. Very poor wording.
It was only episode 6. We're a bit more slick now.
No. The idea was, as I explained to him, that Big Finish is produced by professional Doctor Who fans. Therefore, they are professional fan fiction. It just makes sense to me. It's like even the RTD era was professional fan fiction, because RTD is a massive Doctor Who fan and he wanted that series back. So because of his fandom, we've got Doctor Who. And that's basically what I was alluding to.
Adam, there's a difference between fan fiction and people who are fans who've actually gone on to work on the show in either a licensed capacity or in actually making the show. There is a very significant difference between the two. Am I right, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, no.
Andrew Smith, full circle. Andrew Smith was a fan who then wrote a story.
Right, Andrew Smith.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wrote full
just
circle.
I'm just saying, I get to be pedantic. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting to put Adam Pearson on the spot for a change.
I just like to point out that you're wrong, because I stand by my statement that, although these people are obviously doing it for a living, they're writing Doctor Who for a living, they're still fans of the show, so therefore they are professionals writing fiction for Doctor Who. So they it's professional fan fiction.
Master,
you do not understand. You just don't seem to understand.
No, I do understand that they have got they're misunderstanding me. Therefore, I am right.
We will allow you to continue to live on your little island in your ignorance.
No, it's not ignorance, though, is it? Because, I mean, Doctor Who can be written by people who are not fans of Doctor Who. And I think it has been in the last few, well, there's a few episodes of the TV show that Moffat may have hired someone who's a good writer who's not necessarily a fan of Doctor Who to write a story for the series. But the ones that are written by Doctor Who fans, that's professional fan fiction, in my view.
Okay, how about The Ghost of Enspace, The Paradise of Death, and what's the Colin Baker one?
The Ghosts of Enspace. You're talking about the two John Pertwee Third Doctor ones that Barry Letts wrote that were broadcast in the 90s.
Ghosts of Enspace, The Paradise of Death, and there was the Colin Baker one, which I can't remember the title of.
Slipback, that was broadcast in 85 during the hiatus.
Where do those three fit into Doctor Who canon?
Slipback fits somewhere in between, I'm trying to remember, what was Colin Baker's first season? Season 22? Yes. I'm presuming it fits somewhere between season 22 and 23. The two Third Doctor ones are harder to fit because they're set during his last season, which is supposed to be like a continuous line of stories. The official line from the BBC in the 90s when Paradise of Death aired was that it fit between Time Warrior and Invasion of the Dinosaurs, which sounds great on paper, but when you actually watch those two stories, it doesn't work at all.
Right. Matthew, it doesn't quite fit in.
I tell you what, right? I disagree with you, Andy, because it's a science fiction fantasy TV show. And if you manage to get Nicholas Briggs to the convention next year, I will apologise and I'll decide to keep my opinion to myself and grovel.
Humble pie.
Yes, thank you,
Debbie.
Can we
say hello to Jason? Hello, Jason.
Hello, Jason.
Jason, hello.
Jason, yes. Come on down. You're the next poor victim on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Oh, no. Am I going down to somewhere else in Gallifrey or something now? Or Scarrow? Am I going to Scarrow now?
No, you're coming on the show. Hello.
Debbie, you've changed your picture.
Debbie's been so bored that she's been playing around and changing her picture.
Yes, Isla's on it.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Jason.
Jason.
Nice to see you again, Jason.
Pardon?
Hey, Andy. Are you sleeping now, Andy?
I really resemble that remark. I fell asleep once.
I think once is enough on a live link up to a convention podcast. I think once is enough. Thank you.
Dawn is going to keep me awake.
Wish he was there last time.
Yes. He's sitting there opposite me with a sunglasses on, grinning at me, enjoying it thoroughly, and she will keep me awake.
Anyway, while we're at it, I thought it might be a good idea to... Yeah, thank you. Take this opportunity to welcome new members, not necessarily listeners, to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. And those people are Caitlin, Kate Fox, Jonathan Oldbury, and Kristin Purvis Boatwell. Welcome to the group. Not necessarily listen to the show, but at least they're in the group and they might listen to the show afterwards. Pardon?
Welcome.
You poor mad fools.
They're not mad. They're not necessarily listening. They'd be mad if they were listening and... Yeah. Obviously, we hope they do, but I think they're probably not. But there you go. Yes, thank you. I just wanted to say that. Has Matthew slipped away? Matthew.
Any tidbits about the con?
I'm still here.
Oh, good. Go on, Jason.
Hold on a second. We're doing a quick photo op.
Oh, my God. Far be it from me to stop you from having a photo op in an audio presentation.
Well, hopefully they'll post it.
Yes.
Yeah, so... Well, we should have a photo op of the Brits. We should have
take a photo op to address every demographic in the world. So, you know, we had a certain demographic we had to do for this photo shoot. So yes. When Kirby uploads it, you'll see what I'm talking about.
I like the
picture. Now, Jason, very important question, Jason. Jason?
Yes.
What do you think of the cricket?
Oh, for God's sake, Andy, shut up.
How's your
question?
It's boring.
Don't be silly.
How can you say it's not boring? England lost.
It's the best game in the world is cricket.
See, this you want to know why we broke away from England? Cricket.
now, Kirby, here's a question for you. What is the oldest international cricket fixture in the world.
And I've got a question to follow that one just afterwards. Kirby, if you'd like to ask Kirby, that question, Kirby.
Kirby, sure, here we go. What is the oldest established international cricket fixture?
Chirp, chirp.
Right,
it's
I've got
USA against Canada, 1844.
Right. I've got a question, Andy.
Go on, then.
Who cares?
Cricket is the best game in the world.
I just want to know how Jason's con's going.
There,
we can ask a bit more forthrightly, Debbie. It's very unlike you to ask in such a whimpery way. I know you're not very well and all that, but ask a bit firmly. Might get an answer out of him.
Oh, dear.
Jason, how's your con going?
Hold on. He's coming back up.
Huh. I like the picture.
This is slick, isn't it, listeners?
It's called being a ninja. I've enjoyed the con so far. It's been really fun, and the VIP stuff has been really, really interesting as well. I like the how y'all had set up the tables and have all the different guests come talk to us a little bit there. And of course, I don't know if y'all know Melinda or not. I don't know how many of you guys know Melinda. I know people here who might know Melinda, but I don't know if anyone here who knows Melinda. So anyway,
I don't know
Melinda is known for, when we meet her at cons, she creates something called Drunken Jelly Babies using various different alcoholic beverages.
And his ears are just pricked up.
And then what?
Yeah, you hear some.
Yeah.
So what she does is, like, when we had the guests come in, each of the guests came in, at the end of right before they were leaving, he says, "We want you to try it." She's like, it had different flavors. One was called Absinthe and some other rum and some other, I can't remember other
flavor.
Kahlua. So anyway, so all the guests had to at least try one of the different, or at least pick any one of the three flavor Drunken Jelly Babies she made. So after each one, we had the photograph. I think Michael Sylvester is that his name? Yeah. So we asked him every time we saw them getting ready to eat it, said, "We want a picture of them every time they have a reaction when they eat the jelly baby." So I don't know if we'll ever get see that on Facebook or not, but Matthew, I'm going to make you your job to figure out a way to throw it back online somehow or give it to us to see it.
Well, you'll have to post it to the 20 Megabyte Podcast YouTube channel, or at least give it to me to post it to the 20 Megabyte Podcast a YouTube channel. There is one, yeah?
There is one of those.
You don't have it, I do. It's my permin channel.
Well, then I
so anyway, I don't want to hold you up, but I just want to say thanks and bye, or I'll be in the audience. And
oh, good. Well, stay in the audience, please, Jason.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
no, he's not. He's staying in the audience.
I want to follow up.
Jason.
Please let Matthew speak. It doesn't happen very often.
Well, the person who was actually responsible for getting me off the show originally is what? Actually in the room at the moment, but I'm
well,
not
going to horrify
her by bringing her on the show.
Ben Shoveler's in the room.
Yeah. She's got a very good friend of mine in the room. I'll let her tell the story of what happened when Paul had tried one of them and then came over to the table. So I'm going to hand you over to a very good friend of mine, the one, only, and wonderful Emily Schaefer.
Oh, Emily. Hello, Emily.
Hi, guys. I'm Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Yeah, he walks over to the table and he just goes, I don't know, man. I just had an absinthe-soaked jelly baby and I'm communing with my ancestors or something.
Right. I have to say, right.
It was so great.
I have to say that I sent Kirby a pack of real jelly babies a few years ago, hence he ended up on the podcast. I reckon it's only fair you send me some of these.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. It what should be a recipe thing, like everywhere. All right, thank you guys for the moment of fame.
Bye, Emily.
Bye, Emily.
All right, I'm going to hand you back over to Kirby for a minute. I've got to run and go do something real quick. So
ooh, why don't dear. We talk to some other people in the audience while
please
we're...
Please do, Kirby. You have them with you. Makes it a lot easier if you did it.
Would that do something mean bringing another guest?
No, he's talking about the audience, Mary.
He cannot...
Matthew likes his air of mystery.
He can neither confirm or deny.
Okay, Kirby, your friend in the audience, Pasta? Can we ask her what's their first memories of Doctor Who, please?
I cannot hear you because Matthew was talking.
Okay, what is their first memories of Doctor Who?
Oh, my phone's ringing.
That's an odd first memory.
Hang on. Hello? Matthew's coming back.
You may very well think that, but I couldn't possibly comment.
I have to nip out of the room. So you have to take it over for me. I've just got a phone call.
Okay, see you in a minute.
Okay, Kirby.
What's more important? We're here live at Kirby, the convention.
Kirby, if you ask everyone who you can get to, what their first real big memory of Doctor Who is, or what convinced them that Doctor Who was the best show ever.
Thank you, Debbie.
Anyone want to come up and say, introduce yourself? And
we don't bite. We leave that to Adam.
I just want to say it's nice to have that projection behind you of what you're looking at on the screen, because I think that makes it nice for everybody.
Hey, guys, this is Ed from ConGT. How is everybody today?
Hey, hello, how are you?
Good to meet you, Ed.
I'll tell you mine, and that is I didn't watch it when it originally came out. And then when BBC brought it out in 2005, I had the DVR set because I thought it'd be interesting, and I didn't watch it for months. And then one weekend, I said, I think I'll see what this is all about. And I started watching it, and I watched all however many episodes there were, like in 2 days. And I've been hooked ever since. So that's how it happened for me. So pretty
brilliant.
What was the first episode? Do you remember?
Ed, have you ever watched classic Doctor Who?
Only those episodes that have cricket in it.
I'm glad to hear that.
Kirby asked. I started with Rose. I mean, that's the first one, and I saw it, and I just said, you know, I fell in love with it. I tell everybody, I said, start with Rose and do it.
Ed, you've watched, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th Doctor then? You've not watched classic Doctor then, I take it?
I have watched a sampling of classic Doctors, but not, I'm by no means an expert. Maybe total, maybe 2 dozen different episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Doctors, please?
I'm sorry, do what?
Which Doctors have you watched?
Well, all the current ones, of course, and then you go into McCann. I have watched Hartnell episodes. I have watched Pertwee. I've watched Tom Baker specifically, Colin, and a little bit of Sylvester.
Okay, so how do you find Hartnell?
Stop talking over each other, you naughty people.
Because Hartnell for us is obviously the classic Doctor. I mean, before I was born, because I remember watching Pertwee as my first Doctor. But how do you find William Hartnell as being the first ever Doctor? Because, of course, that's so far removed from what you've seen as being the new Doctor Who.
Well, I don't know why you're asking me this, because I am certainly no expert, okay?
No, I'm asking you because you're not an expert, exactly, Ed. I'm asking you because you're not an expert. So I'd like to hear your amateur... Without being rude, your amateur view.
Okay. No, the way I look at it is this. I don't look at it with as much of a critical eye as I do looking at it from that's what it was, and it led us to where we are today, and I love where we are today, so it's good, you know, and that's just kind of the way I look at it. I look at a lot of the old episodes, and I've told Kirby this before. I look at them, and they're hard to watch for me because of the production values and all that. So I try to imagine them done today, the same scripts, but with better production and all of that. And that's how I try to look at them.
But is it? Do you find it's essentially it is the same TV show?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, it's just a difference in time. It's like watching a sitcom, you know, from the 70s or watching one today. It's just a quality difference. And, and by that, I mean strictly production quality more than
you look
anything.
At Star Trek and Star Trek The Next Generation. I mean, both in color, I suppose the only similarity, but you know, they are clearly the same TV series done in different eras.
Okay, let's bring another audience member up.
Hello, I'm Ames London. I was the at GT.
Hello, Ames. Oh, bless. Thank you for coming back.
This is like a AAA meeting.
Yes. It's giving me a feeling of nostalgia.
Ames, can I ask you the same question I said, which is really, I guess you are probably, you watch New Who. I don't know how much old classic Who you've watched, but when you know, how do you compare watching bits of classic Who you might have seen to watching New Who? How do you find it?
Ed, a little bit. It's like, you know, you have to imagine like the production value of that time. It's
sometimes you look at it and it's kind of like watching Plan 9 from outer space. Like with them scratching the ground to your head and you're like, really? Is that really an effect? And then you, like, even there's New Who stuff where you're kind of like, that kind of looks cheesy.
Mm. Yep.
It doesn't look right.
Well, you just reminded me of, by saying that, Ark in Space, you may or may not have seen that, but the bubble wrap arm springs to mind.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's nice to hear you, Ames. Have you been listening to the show?
Off and on, yes.
At least that's no, it would have been a terrible answer, but off and on's good enough for me.
That's good. What Adam just said there was that you talked about the Ark in Space with the bubble wrap. You know, mm-hmm. That for us is like a classic Who, but the old style.
And I'm thinking, Andy, that even in 1975 or whenever it was made, people would the viewers would have looked at it and think, "Oh, that's bubble wrap around his arm," because it was that obvious.
Yeah. What we've got now is, you know, we look at those stories; they're classic stories. But you look at the new eye, and how poor the special effects are now. But yet, we can still see those and watch those as being good stories.
Yes.
Because we can switch off the special effects and enjoy the stories for what they really are.
Good storytelling is good storytelling at the end of the day, Andy. Yeah.
That's why I enjoy listening to what Ed has been saying, everything he's saying about they've watched new stories through new eyes, they've watched old stories through new eyes, and how they're going to enjoy those stories. And I think that's great because that's what the show's about. For 50-year-old stories they watch, they go at Hartnell. How superb those stories can be, because the storytelling, the effects aren't really good, but they can still enjoy the stories for what they are, the scripts and the stories behind those stories.
And talking of stories, there's some new ones coming up soon, September, everybody. New Doctor Who.
9 weeks to go.
Mm. So how excited are we all? Sorry,
an interesting good story, actually, is that in ninth grade, it'll all tie in. Is that my father got me The Magician's Nephew for my birthday. And I was like, okay, these are really good series. You know, is there more? My ninth grade English teacher had the second book. So, like, my friend, I think for Christmas, bought me 3 through 7 of the Chronicles. And I was like, I was trying to get into them. And it was like, by the time I got to The Silver Chair, I fell in love with Puddleglum. I was like, okay, I have a slight crush on a mythical creature for no apparent reason. And so the same friend who got me the books was like, here, let's watch here's my BBC drama movies. And so I'm going to watch, and I'm watching them, I'm like, man, these movies are so unbelievably cheesy. They're somewhat good. I really don't think I'll ever want Turkish Delight in my life because I'm going to think of a white witch. But by the time I got to Silver Chair, I was like, oh, the guy who plays Puddleglum is so handsome and everything. And I'm starstruck. And my friend was like, yeah, he's in Doctor Who. I was like, Doctor what?
No, yeah, Doctor Who.
I really wouldn't say until like 2 or 3 years ago that I was like, oh, now I understand who you're talking about and what's going on here.
We watch their stories and think how good they are, because, you know, 20 years ago, they were classic drama. But now you see those stories and the effects are crap. You know, it's not good enough. But
it's quite funny, though.
Enjoy the stories of what they are.
My daughter really, really loves the BBC adaptions of Chronicles of Narnia, and she does give the time of day to the big, you know, the big screen, you know, cinema production ones. She hates them. She prefers the wibbly wobbly sets and Aslan trying to.
I think
to
the trouble with
humans in him, you know, that sort
I
of
I think
thing.
Trouble with modern day cinema, especially in fantasy stories, is that the producers get carried away with the special effects budget to the detriment sometimes of the story.
Yes.
Right.
What is really interesting is Peter Jackson, when he did the Lord of the Rings on film, he gave all the cast the CDs of the BBC Radio 4 production from 1982 of the Lord of the Rings, which is actually superb. If you listen to that, it's 26 hours of one of the best stories ever. But
my favourite.
Oh, you're quite right, Debbie. It's actually brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But it changed it so much. And because Bill Nighy is actually in both stories. He's actually in the film and in the DVD as well. And you think, watch the films, how much that's changed. Because the visuals are superb. But the audio visuals, the imagining is even better. So if you want to watch it, listen to the audio visuals first. Then watch the videos, because it's so much better.
Well, nothing can really and truly beat your own imagination. when it comes to things. Because what you're basically watching is someone else's interpretation of what they've imagined. So, yes, so basically, in a nutshell, audio visuals really, you can't beat them.
Right, there's a story called Earth Search, who some of you might have heard of, which is James Follett wrote three series about, it's about basically finding Earth many years ago. And he always said, the audio visuals, the pictures are better in your brain. And it's something that you watch it. I think you're right, Debbie. If you watch it and you listen to it, you listen in the dark, hear the stories, and you get a much better image of what's going on.
Yep.
And everybody has their own, you know, because you don't know what's in your own mind. Everybody has their own interpretation of it, and it makes it more interesting, doesn't it? Because you can have a conversation with someone about the same story, and one person will have one angle on that same story to another.
Peter Jackson did a superb audio interpretation of Lord of the Rings, and Bill Nye's there, he was there, and he gave it away, and they produced superb films.
Yeah.
So, Debbie, what you said there, you're right. It's the audio visuals, the pictures are better in your mind than the films.
Debbie, you're right, apparently, so...
Yay!
Okay, how you are.
Back on track.
How you are talking about interpretation and everything, it's like, when I watched Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I was like, you know, this was good, like the BBC was, BBC One was. Yeah. And then you go into Prince Caspian, and I'm like, why is Caspian Spanish? The Telemarines are like Arabian. They're Arabic. And I'm like, and then suddenly we go into Don Treader, and he's British. I'm going, what's going on? And that's why it's like, I've done panels before, like finding Behind the Geek about it, and I said, you know, I'm really excited for the Silver Chair. I'm like, just bring back Tom Baker. I don't think anyone's going to really mind. But I said, don't mess up Puddle Glum, because there's one thing I can't stand for, and that's it. Because I'm like, because of Tom Baker, it really made the BBC adaptations a lot more enjoyable, especially for the fact that you had to listen to Jill and Eustace that entire movie.
Yeah.
And took a Marshwiggle to tell them pretty much shut up and wake up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. I love the Silver Chair.
I have to ask Kirby, though, because while it comes to mind, how did the quiz go?
Ah, the quiz.
Yes.
The quiz went great.
You just alienate everybody in the first sitting.
No, we used the point system this time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Was that an idea you got from me?
Yes, although I need to tell you that even though I asked Adam for more questions, and we went through a lot of the questions from both sets, the set from Conjiti.
A story is developing here, listeners, so just get yourself ready for this. Yes, go on.
So some of the questions were a little... Mm.
Be careful, because I'm about to ask some of them.
No.
Well, we had things like what was the last Doctor Who story to be written by Chris Chibnall? And I'm sorry, this audience would not necessarily know that.
Now, shall we try them? Does anybody know the answer to that one?
Matthew just raised his hand.
Go on, Matthew.
Anyway, Master.
Yeah, go on.
Anyway, so I complained about this a couple of days ago to Adam, and he sent me a new set of questions. Take a look at these.
Okay, I'll do them for you, because I just happen to have them in front of my
eyes.
Because apparently Americans don't know anything about Doctor Who, according to Kirby. So therefore... No, according to Kirby. So I had to write these questions for Americans, because they apparently can't answer normal questions about Doctor Who. Question number one was, what TV show stars Peter Capaldi as the Doctor? Okay. Question number two was, what is the Doctor's time craft called?
Red Dwarf.
What monster's catchphrase is exterminate? Hang on, which is very interesting podcasting, Kirby. Yeah, go on.
Master, I did not use any of your new questions.
Oh, but however, you alluded to the fact that Americans didn't know anything about Doctor Who. That's what you alluded to. And I spent 3 hours writing the first load of questions, and you just threw them back in my face.
Okay, Adam, just because I know that the last Doctor Who episode Chris Chibnall wrote was Power of Three does not mean that anybody
you
else...
You only knew that because you looked at the answers, Matthew.
Okay, not all of us have Kirby's pedanticness or my encyclopedia near photographic memory when it comes to details of things I really want to know about, right, as Mary will tell you from having to deal with me on a podcast every couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Mary.
Okay. Which episode of Doctor Who was the first to be broadcast in the 2010s then, Matthew?
End of Time Part 2. What
else
have you got?
You've got the answers in front. All right, try this one then. Right. What was the last episode of Doctor Who to be written by Stephen Moffat while RTD was producer?
Well, can you repeat the first half of the question?
What was the last episode of Doctor Who to be written by Stephen Moffat while RTD was the producer?
Forest of the Dead.
See, they're easy questions, everybody.
USA! 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 USA!
Yes, I agree.
One more for you, Matthew. What was the green-eyed ood in The Doctor's Wife called?
Nephew.
Thank you. See, easy questions, Kirby, so...
Easy for Matthew.
Yeah, I was
going to
say easy for Matthew.
Is Matthew not American?
I am definitely American. I am South born and raised, even though apparently I don't sound like it.
I rest my case. Malud.
I'm from Alabama. I talk real slow. You know what I'm saying? You know that?
So that's what you're just basically saying. You wish that, yes. Andy
I do want
spoke
to tell
that
the, way. The story that Mary will back me up on. We were recording stories from the Vortex a while back, and I, for some reason, we were saying something, and I used the word Waller, which apparently is not a normal word you can find outside the South. And Mary made the comment that in like 3 years of knowing me, it was the first time she had figured out, the first time she knew for certain I was born and raised here.
So what does it translate as then?
Wallow. Like wallow in mud?
Oh, wallow. Oh,
do you often wallow in mud then?
As waller.
Because we use waller as a different thing. Waller is tax waller, like a fella. Like someone who works. Working fella. Waller. Like that.
Never heard of that one, Deb.
Well, that's from Yorkshire.
Debbie, while I remember, you know what, you've got the Crimson Aura at the moment.
Got the Crimson Aura.
How contagious is it?
Apparently very.
They also, yeah, quite, actually.
But I gave you a cuddle last Sunday.
I know.
Brace yourself, Adam.
Brace yourself. No, you would have got it by now. Don't worry. Starts off with a really icky throat and then you just deteriorate and you end up being crimson. It's just like that bit in... New Earth, the hospital.
New Earth.
Yeah.
Bodily fluids like a mother and daughter might.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just having to explain to the audience that what we were talking about.
Oh dear.
What?
There was a lot of very incredulous looks.
About what about me?
Scarlet fever?
Yes, I've got a very archaic illness, and I've had it once, and now I've had it again. And apparently, you're not supposed to be able to have it again.
And I can tell you,
my daughter and I have, and we have.
Kirby's looking it up on Wikipedia as we speak.
It's very archaic.
I looked it up on Wikipedia this morning,
and of course, it was spot on, correct, and absolutely 100% right.
Yeah, no errors.
With its deduction.
Do we want to see if anyone else in the audience wants to come up and talk about their experience about watching Doctor Who?
Absolutely, yes,
I'm not
please
contagious
do
now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, you will tell that in a minute.
Let's have some more experience.
No, they're coming, Andy. They're coming.
Hey, Andy's very excited.
The stampede.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Scott Loftus.
Hello, Scott.
Yeah, remember we made kanji tea, blah, blah, blah.
This is just like...
Hey, I got a funny story for you all.
Please do.
Yesterday, Paul McGann was taking photos and stuff, and a guy got chewing the Dalek, actually slapped him in the face with the Dalek. With the eye.
Oh, good Lord. And he didn't call any security at that particular time?
I'm
pretty sure he's too scared about getting exterminated or something. I don't know.
Oh, he's a good fella.
Good.
Okay. Okay, and Kirby's telling me I need to tell you about my first experience with the doctor.
Oh,
I would have to say I started off with New Who, Rose, seeing that first episode on BBC America. But I have to say I kind of fell in love with the Seventh Doctor. He's one of my favorites. And then right afterwards, the Fourth, Tom Baker. But the Seventh Doctor and Ace, after seeing Remembrance of the Dalek, I was definitely in. Doctor's my favorite character ever. Since then.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
I should hope so too.
So, where do you watch the Seventh Doctor? Was it on DVD or how did you watch the Seventh Doctor?
When I watched Remembrance for the first time, it was a DVD.
Yeah, that's how I'm catching up with a lot of them. You can find a lot of them on Daily Motion as well.
Debbie?
Yeah.
It's Dimension.
Not
what you said.
What was your first story you watched on the Seventh Doctor there on the Daily Motion, I guess?
Excuse me.
What did you say?
What first story of the Seventh Doctor you actually watched?
Remember it said the Dalek.
He did say that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet fans.
So you saw that. I mean, did you understand then? Because obviously, we're old fans. We understood the Doctor School, Coal Hill School, the history. Did you understand the history, or was that completely new to you?
It was highly recommended to me. I researched actually when I learned about the Doctor for the first time. I actually went and studied it and learned about it. And like, oh my goodness, this character's been on for this long, and so it's. I just started finding any episodes I could get a hold of. Luckily, sadly, my friend's not in here right now, but he had lots and lots of episodes and all that. And I just got into every episode I can find.
Excellent. Yes, have you listened to them and watched them all yet?
No.
Good. Then you've got lots of good things to look forward to then.
Lots of good things to look forward to, yeah.
That's great because obviously, again, you understood that was a character who had a lot of history. So that was the first Doctor, but for you, it's the seventh or eighth Doctor, and so much history there. I mean, how did you appreciate the history? Did you go back and find the history, or did you say, "Hey, this is something new to me. I'm going to enjoy it"?
To be honest, I'm a history buff, and. Just learning the history of it, of the Doctor, how he came to be, how he started off as a history program in some ways for children. And then, to be honest, when I first saw the Daleks, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is my favorite villain ever. They're just pure evil. It's just like, there's no end ifs and buts about it. If you don't agree with them, they exterminate you. Yes. The Doctor stops.
The hair raise on your arms when they speak, don't they?
Yes.
Oh, Daleks.
Well, it's more than anything, it's they have to express themselves more with the voice, and also because the arms really don't do much. Either they express it with their voice, or they kill you with their gun, or use their plunger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, you're an American guy, you know, that's something totally new to you, and actually you can welcome it as a totally new concept, and you can accept the fact that it's something so new to you, yet for us it's 50 years old. And that's great because, you know, when you watch it now, you watch 50-year-old Doctor Who with 50-year-old Daleks, and you can accept them as being, yay, for you, it's 50 years old, but it's new to you.
To be fair, though, Andy, Isabella hardly watched any Doctor Who at the age of 9. She hasn't watched, I'd say, virtually zero classic Doctor Who. So when she starts watching the stories from the 1960s, they're going to be new to her too.
Yeah.
I've seen episodes from all the Doctors. When the BBC America produced, well, when 50th anniversaries come up, I bought every one of the special episodes when they doing behind the scenes and interviewing the cast and stuff. I bought all those episodes, all those DVDs, and I enjoy everyone. Of them. It's like, it makes me feel like a kid. I'm 31 years old, and I feel like a kid watching Doctor Who. And it's like,
good.
That never goes. That never ever goes. That never goes.
Okay, to be honest, of course, I got a lot of kids. Hey, I was born when the doctor was still on, but I never saw him. So there's a chance I probably saw a rerun, but I didn't know what it was.
I was born before Doctor Who started, so there.
But you can watch Doctor Who, and you can understand it as being completely new. My first story was John Pertwee in 1970. I can watch his first story, because I'm 50 now. I can watch his first ever story, and that's new to me. So you guys in America, people like Debbie, like Adam, they can watch it as new stories. We can watch it as fresh, and it's superb. And that's what Doctor Who is for me, because Troughton and Hartnell, I never saw it live, but now what I'm going to do is I can sit there and watch on DVD, on video, and enjoy it so much. And you guys in America, who you're so young, you can watch it straight off.
Yes, Kirby.
But you can really enjoy it as being totally fresh Doctor Who.
There you go, Kirby. You're so young.
Yeah, Adam, it's your show.
Well, if I may interrupt, Andy, we do have a guest in the room. It's my pleasure to introduce to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast one of the illustrators of the acclaimed IDW Doctor Who comic miniseries, is The Forgotten and Prisoners of Time, Mr. Kelly Yates.
Hello, Kelly. Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Kelly.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
Oh, thank you for joining us.
Are you enjoying Absolutely. The con? Are you enjoying the con?
Oh, I love coming to this convention. It's wonderful. You know, I just came off of San Diego Comic-Con with my 200,000 closest friends, and so it's nice to kind of come to a show that's focused on Doctor Who, and I love coming to it.
Fantastic.
Kelly, thank you for joining us, because here we are, to all our 50-year-old fans to our Doctor Who. How much do you enjoy Doctor Who?
How much do I enjoy Doctor Who? Well, I'm a classic Whovian. I grew up with it, the classic American story, with Tom Baker coming over in the late 70s, early 80s. And, that actually is what led to me getting Doctor Who work through, initially IDW and now Titan. As announced, I'm doing some covers for Titan. Very excited about that too. But, I had a friend of mine who was, Doctor Who had come on back in 2005, and IDW had acquired the rights for the comic in, 2006. So I was out at San Diego Comic-Con that year, and I had a friend of mine who was working on G.I. Joe, who was a studio mate, and I begged him to please introduce me to the editor of Doctor Who, and he took me over there, and the editor's like, "Oh, Kelly, I love your stuff, but, you know, we're booked up for the next year. There's just no way we can give you any work or anything." I was like, "I don't care. It could be a year, 2 years. I'm a huge Doctor Who fan, have been." I said, "I'll take a one shot, fill in whatever, just give me the opportunity." And he's like, "That's fine, but it's going to be a year." "I don't care." A month after San Diego, I get an email from the editor, said, "Knock, knock, opportunity." Mm-hmm. And here I am almost a decade later. And, it's been a pleasure to be a part of every aspect of it. And, you know, getting to meet other fans and, the actors behind the show.
Mm. Brilliant.
Fantastic. No, exactly. But how do you feel about about being part of not just the canon Who, but just to help develop it as a whole? How do you feel about being part of that?
You know, I just think it's kind of the desktop changes, you know. It's just, I'm just adding another layer to it. And part of me, when I do something like a cover or something, I just love adding humor or telling story with that one cover. You know, just looking for those little elements of being able to blend different doctors or little things that only fans are going to get, but somebody can appreciate on a level of not knowing Doctor Who. But there's little things you can add in, like, "Oh, that's from, like, you know, season 10 or whatever." Cool. Classic season 10.
Now, at the moment, we've been we've in between, obviously, seasons. We've been watching from the beginning. We've been starting from the very beginning with William Hartnell. And obviously we've got 9 weeks now until New Who. I mean, I'm quite new to him as a doctor. But But do you have any real standout moment of him or classic Who that really turned you on to Doctor Who? Because I've just become to appreciate more and more his Doctor, having only seen maybe fragments of it before I joined the podcast.
Yeah, well, I think for me is, you know, I grew up with Tom Baker, and the really interesting thing about that time was, is in America, they didn't always air it in order. And so it was this one point, you know, you're watching Doctor Who and you don't know that there's been other doctors. So when they get to his regeneration, there wasn't really the Doctor Who magazine over here. We didn't have the internet. So they get to the regeneration. It's like, oh my gosh, what do you mean there's other doctors? I mean, that was just mind blowing for like a 10-year-old kid, you know, who didn't really quite understand. And that's the neat thing about it is, you know, now going back, I think I finally caught up on a lot of the Hartnell stuff about 7 years ago. And just being able to appreciate the stuff that maybe didn't really air over here. But I think the one moment that really made Doctor Who gel with me the most is Tom Baker, Genesis of the Daleks, when he's like contemplating destroying them in the lab, when he's holding those two wires together, and it's just, it's him. Is he going to destroy them or not? You know, does he have the right to destroy them? And just something about that really clicked for me.
Oh, it is wonderful, isn't it?
It's very iconic.
Yes, yeah, no. Do I have the right? Yes.
Yeah, since you said you started with the Fourth Doctor, my background in classic is pretty spotty because I, too, that was the first Doctor Who that I saw was the Fourth Doctor, Tom Baker. Unfortunately, my first exposure was Ark in Space with the bubble wrap monster, and I was so
well, turned. If you survived that, then you're a true Whovian. So.
Well, no, I didn't, because it was several weeks later when I happened to tune in again, and then it was Colin Baker. And so I feel like, you know, like, who is this guy? And now this one is, you know, the last one was a clown with dark brown hair. Now this one's a clown with yellow hair. And so that kind of turned me off the whole thing. So I wonder, since you followed it from when you started, am I right then that they weren't doing them in succession?
Yeah, it was the Fourth Doctor. And then, like I said, they did the regeneration into Peter Davison, but they didn't really air all his in order either. I think we got like a year or two of it. And then they would jump all over. I remember they went back to Pertwee, and then they kind of jumped to, I don't even think we got all of Colin Baker, at least in my area in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And then it skipped around. And I think at that point, you know, I started entering high school and girls started becoming a factor. And, you know, and honestly, and it wasn't as cool to be into geekdom and to Doctor Who or Star Wars, you know, when I was growing up versus nowadays, we're so much more accepted, which I think is wonderful, but it is a different, you know, culture now. It's much more accepted. So.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. There's something you mentioned about that particular iconic line in Genesis of the Daleks, and knowing that Terry Nation could write some pretty poor stuff. I'm suspicious that line might have been written by Robert Holmes.
You think so, huh?
Because it's so Holmes-esque. That's my opinion.
Well, either way, that's just, you know, even if it was, that's the whole adding to the canon of Doctor
Yes,
Who. And
absolutely.
It was just one of those moments, you know, just, it just worked.
Yes. Sorry, Mary.
And that's one thing one of those things when people ask me, you know, people who are new Whovians and they try to go back and watch the classic stuff and they can't handle it. If they could just get past the special effects on some episodes, the stories, I think some of the classic Who stories can go toe to toe with the new Who stories. Really, if you take out the special effects, if you just really limit that and just really work on the story, I mean, some of those stories can go toe to toe. So
yes, absolutely,
definitely.
Now, someone posted on the Concasterboro site a little film of you presenting your artwork to Paul McGann and to Eric Roberts. And do you do that at different cons? Do you give them those special gifts?
I do. I guess it's my little, you know, I'm a fan too. I mean, I always will be. I'm an artist. I happen to be work as a graphic designer and illustrator now, working on comic books and everything. But, you know, I still start off as a fan. And it, you know, it started off with me doing prints. People would come up and ask me like, oh, that's great. You have these covers, but do you have any prints? And so I've started developing these specific prints, you know, for each of the doctors. And it was just a way for me to maybe have a moment with them. You know, I don't expect great things, but it's nice to, you know, to stand there with them, get to meet them, present them the artwork. I know people give them a million things every time they come to shows, and I don't know if they give them away. I don't know what they do. It's theirs to do with, but it's a moment. It's a moment for me to, you know, be a fan and give a picture, and just enjoy that. And I think some of them truly, well, I think all of them truly appreciate it. But yeah, it's, I guess, a moment with them. So, and I think they appreciate it. So.
Yeah. Because it's the first time I've seen this, so I just wondered if you did it at other cons too.
I have had done it at other cons. I met John Behrman back in the NC Comic Con back in the fall.
He was fun.
Oh yeah, he couldn't keep his hands off of me. I said, he told me he was going to frame it and put it in his house. I said, just don't put it in the bedroom, you know, just keep it in the family room. No, I usually try to stick just to doctors, but I think there's circumstances, you know, obviously Captain Jack being a huge fan favorite, and Eric Roberts, it just felt like the right time to do it for this show.
Yeah. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Talking of Eric Roberts, he's at the convention, isn't he?
Yes.
He is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's funny because I wasn't even introduced to him yet, and he came up and karate chopped me a couple times. So,
you're right.
We have a connection now. I don't know.
Obviously, yeah, via karate chop.
Hasn't been at any other conventions that you've been to.
No, not at all. Not at all. So the only one is I've done a print of Tom Baker, and I know he doesn't travel to the United States anymore, but man, if I had the opportunity, if I could ever line it up just to meet him actually in the UK, I would fly to the UK to present him the artwork if I could ever line it up. Cause I'm just, you know, Tom Baker's my doctor. You know, I love Tennant. I love Smith. I love Capaldi. There's something I love about all of them. But if you ask me, my back against the wall, I'll always say Baker because that was my first doctor.
Yeah.
If I ever had the opportunity to meet him. Yeah. 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 So. And I'll tell you, if you want to see a grown man cry, and I don't know how the other men, I'm sure some of the women too could, but at the end of the 50th, cane hit the ground and I heard that voice,
yeah.
Man, I had to turn away from my wife because I don't cry that much. And I just really did tear up about that. I just, something about that just, echoed back to my childhood and just,
it was like a major connection was made, wasn't it? Because yeah, he's my doctor. I mean, I was quite small, but I remember him as my doctor. And that moment, I was in bits.
Well, I was in an audience at the Doctor Who celebration with thousands of Doctor Who fans. And of course, when that happened, everybody stood up and it was woo! And it was just, incredible feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad they took the 50th opportunity. I know it wasn't ideal for everybody what they wanted, like all the doctors and the whole. I know it didn't happen, but at least they tried to connect the old with the new, and I think that was a good bridge. And then with obviously Paul McGann, definitely bridging the old with the new, and the way they did it, I thought was fabulous. But you know, you can't do everything and please everybody all the time. But I thought they made a really good attempt at it.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely those.
No, still one of the best episodes or stories of Doctor Who of all time, so he must have done a good job. A. Stephen Moffat did a good job, everyone. Hey.
Yay! I know everybody beats him up, but I think he does. I think he's done a good job. I mean, not every story is perfect, but I thought he's done a good job. I thought he's introduced a lot of great villains, you know, and I'm getting looks.
Yes. You should go around wearing a t-shirt saying Marmite.
Okay, I'm okay. All right.
Marmite.
Wasn't from that angel that's behind Jason, is it? That is giving you the funny look.
I think there's Julia, an angel behind Julia, isn't it?
Okay. Okay, there's an angel behind Matthew and Jason, according to this photo I can see. Bit of a cardboard cutout one, but still, what holds the image of an angel
is
become
an angel.
Yes, thank you, Mary, for spitting that one out for me.
Oh, okay, got it.
What's going on?
he's got it.
I've got mine.
Listeners to the show should join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group where they can see the images I'm referring to.
There you go. It's all connected.
Yes.
Okay, I guess it's time for me to go.
Okay.
But I'm going to record a bumper. Is that what I'm doing?
Yes,
what am
please.
I doing here?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Kelly Yates, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yay!
Whoa.
Thank you very much.
That doesn't often get a round of applause.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Kelly.
Bye, Kelly.
Cheers.
Nobody
hacking out the angel or something. I can't...
Apparently, the concert next door has just started. I don't know if you could hear it, but we definitely can.
Is that what the round of applause is for, then?
No, I can hear the music.
No, I can't hear the concert. No,
it's the magic word buffet came out.
Okay, we do have a story from one of our guests. It's being referred to as the Paul McGann elevator story, so I'm going to hand you over to this young lady.
Good Lord.
I'm not doing this of my own accord.
Hang on, we must introduce you to yourself.
That's rubber arm.
I'll start again.
I didn't want the people who have been telling this story to tell it because
introduce yourself
because they make it a lot bigger than it actually was.
Don't do it incognito.
What is your name?
My name is Sydney McAllister, like Sydney, Australia.
Hello, Sydney.
Go on, tell it your way.
I went to, on Saturday, I spent the whole day in a Madame de Pompadour dress.
Ooh.
Which was very big and very hot, and it was very hard to get around in. So I spent most of the day just walking around, and I kept getting a lot of looks. And I, at one point, walked past, and I heard somebody with a British accent say, "You look lovely," and I turned around and Paul McGann was getting in the elevator, and I didn't know it was him. I hadn't seen him all day. It was really sad because he got in the elevator and I just kind of was standing there saying, "Oh, that was Paul McGann that just walked past."
Oh, that's lovely. But Mary, how do you feel with knowing now that Paul McGann seems to flirt with everybody?
Oh, my bubble is breaking.
No, don't burst a bubble.
Oh, no, that's not it.
That's not it.
That's not all. Later, a lot later, I was running to the elevator to try and get in, and I ran into the elevator still in full costume and turned around, and Paul McGann was in the same elevator. And I just kind of stared at him for a minute because I don't meet a lot of celebrities ever. So it was really cool for me. And I said, "Hey, I met you earlier." And he said, "Yeah, I remember you." And he leaned over and like gave me a really big hug and then gave me a kiss on the side of the head.
Oh,
and then
Mary.
I had to run out of the elevator, and it was amazing.
Run out? Mary wouldn't have run out of the elevator. She would have pressed the stop button and stayed in there.
In full pompadour costume.
Emergency stop.
Yeah.
And my dress is so hot.
This dress is so hot, or is it me?
Oh, Mr. McGann, could you help me out of the dress in this very hot elevator? Perhaps.
I'm a bit young for that.
Wow.
I'm 16.
There you go. Be careful, Adam.
Well, I can't see from here.
And I should tell you, my mom's in the room. So.
Hello, Mom.
I'm glad I'm here.
Right, front row.
So, cracking story, though. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
It's starstruck.
Brilliant.
So, Matthew's still trying to work his magic to hopefully get someone else in here.
Okay, okay.
So, we have basically 20 more minutes before the closing ceremonies are going to start next door, and we'll have to stop.
When you say closing ceremony, I thought, bloody hell, we never had a closing ceremony for the podcast before, and then, of course, you're talking about the convention.
Well, I don't think anybody can brag that Paul McGann sat next to me for an hour and a half.
There we go. One-upmanship from Mary.
Walked together all the way through the hotel to his elevator.
I beg your pardon.
He didn't just kiss me in the room. He kissed me just before he got on the elevator and said he hoped he would see more of me later. I don't know
what he
how much more.
Maybe he will see more of you later at another convention. Eh, Mary? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Nudge, nudge.
Say no more.
Anyway, right. Kirby, I've got a job for you.
Who, me?
Well, your name's Kirby, isn't it? It was last time I looked. Right, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Stand up.
Why?
Huh? Yeah, I told you he wouldn't believe you.
Stand up. Yeah, are you standing up?
No!
Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand up. Stand up.
Yes.
Right. Take off your scarf.
Oh, don't. Zit alors.
You can put it back on again afterwards.
Yes.
And then just show everybody your lovely T-shirt.
Oh, okay.
That's only the T-shirt, Debbie. Don't get carried away.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, listeners, he's wearing his 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast T-shirt. What a good boy.
As well he should.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so anybody else with any stories?
Anyone else with any stories? Come on up.
Is there a parrot in there?
Oh,
is that just an echo?
Posted another picture. I want to see it.
Yeah, I think it's just crashed my Mac because it just went bing of its own accord.
Don't be derisive about the Mac. You know how Kirby feels.
I will be derisive about this particular Mac.
There's a picture.
Okay, we got someone else.
All good.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Valentine.
Hello.
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 They won't bite.
Kirby will.
My first exposure with Doctor Who was a coworker named Linda Kaiser, one of the organizers of the con. And she had all the little figurines at work, and she would talk about Doctor Who constantly. And she said, you gotta watch. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, and she would talk about the series, and I'm like, okay, fine. And then she would go on and say, well, have you watched Merlin? I'm like, no, I haven't watched Merlin. And she would go on and on about Merlin. Well, my daughter, and she's sitting here with me and giving me dirty looks. Yes. She introduced me to Doctor Who, and my first episode was the 10th Doctor, David Tennant. And it was one, I don't remember the name of the episode, it was the one with the bus where he goes through the vortex to another planet. Where
Planet
the
of the Dead.
Being,
Planet of the Dead.
Thank you. Yeah, Planet
hang
of the
on,
Dead.
Hang on, I'll get one of these, hang on.
And I'm sitting there going, what? I'm sitting there going, what the is going on? And my daughter was explaining everything to me, you know, everything about the doctor, what was happening. And so then I watched another episode, and I'm still kind of, and she said, well, he usually travels with a companion. And so she explains all the companions. And I think that was the one where he was on Mars.
Waters of Mars?
Thank you. Thank you, yes.
I'll get one of these.
And unfortunately, I had switched another job, so I wasn't working with Melinda anymore to talk to her about it. And it's like, oh, shocked. You know, how many people had to work to talk about it? And I would go around work trying to find somebody who's a Who fan. Unfortunately, there weren't too many of them.
I think there's a couple in the room.
Yeah. So I got hooked. And I was watching the reruns on BBC America over and over. And then I finally got through all the current ones. I haven't watched any of the classic ones, I'm sorry to say. Melinda's told me I should, but I haven't done that yet. But after I got... Yeah. But...
Five doctors.
After I finished watching the current ones and all the reruns, all of a sudden I went into withdrawals. And it's like, come on, I need another Doctor Who here. And... I've been hooked ever since, and here I am, and I get to say hey to Melinda, and get to talk to all Doctor Who fans, and I've been really enjoying all these conventions, and it's great. It's really, really great, and thank my daughter for introducing me to Doctor Who.
Thanks to your daughter for helping you to persevere with it after watching what, I don't mean to be derogatory, but aren't exactly the best Doctor Who stories to start off watching Doctor Who with. I'm not saying they're not bad, but I mean, as far as initial watches, I wouldn't really recommend Waters of Mars or Planet of the Dead to say, all right, if you watch if you want to watch Doctor Who, you don't want to watch those two to start off with, but so you've done really well there.
Well, she said the same thing, and I stuck with it, mainly because she had it on TV. We've been trying to pull in my husband. My husband's a rocket scientist, and it's like, honey, you know, there's the astronaut and, you know, all this, and, you know, you really get into it, but we can't get him into it. And, you know, we've tried having it on when he's in the room, and
I'm probably
just kind of look at, he'll look at it.
Probably spot
bit,
the scientific issues for some of these fantasy sides of the,
I guess
thing.
It's not, you know, technical enough for him, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, he probably would enjoy it. I don't know if you can hear that.
No.
No. Well, I heard something.
Oh, pardon me?
I did hear something vague and very sort of distant.
Sure, hold on.
All right. I think the microphone's been switched off. There was a clicking noise. Oh, now it's back on again.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I Scott again. I just wanted. I told her she should show him this the BBC special Science Behind the Doctor.
Yeah, the good idea. That's a very good, very, very good idea. Well done. That's, was that Brian Cox, wasn't it? The Science of Doctor Who. Is that right,
yes.
Debbie? Yeah.
Yes, that was him.
Yeah.
I love Brian Cox.
I like Brian. I don't love him, but I do like Brian Cox. And if Professor Stephen Hawking likes Brian Cox, he must be quite a clever chap.
Yep.
Hmm. Well, didn't Stephen Hawking blow Brian Cox up in that comic relief film?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, he did, he turned into cyber, sort of, well, wasn't it, sort of like a robot sort of version of Stephen Hawking, didn't he? He sort of turned into like a transformer and then just blew him up. Yeah, sorry, I'm sidetracking here, just doing a bit of filling. I thought it was quite
Segway. No,
yes.
Hey, this is Jason again.
Hello, Jason. Thank you for still being there.
But I was just thinking of a topic offhand. Yeah, as you know, we've talked about in the past, or y'all probably talked about past, about certain missing Doctor Who episodes, and you know, you got Luke canon and Luke reconstruction in it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know, let's just say as a hypothetical situation is, if you're able to, let's make it easy. If you're able to pick one first Doctor and one second Doctor story that's missing, which one would you pick of one of each?
First Doctor would be 10th Planet. Episode 4, obviously, therefore have to be the full story, but I really would like to see that one episode, the first, you know, proper regeneration. And as far as Troughton goes, I'm thinking probably Power of the Daleks. So the two stories back to back, really, because one led into the other, so those would be the two for me.
Master?
Yes.
I would choose Marco Polo and Power of the Daleks.
Yeah, Marco Polo. Yeah, I don't know. Like to see that.
Mythmakers has me pretty interested.
What has you interested? Sorry, Mary.
Mythmakers,
yeah.
Yes, that would, because that's the latest one we reviewed, obviously. But that looked sumptuous, didn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, Kirby's interrupting. Yes, Kirby.
Yeah, has Andy fallen asleep? I haven't heard anything from him in quite some time.
Yeah.
I think North Dawn would have given him a nudge.
Andy?
Uh-oh.
Andy?
Still
with us.
Still with us.
I'm not dead yet.
He's just listening intently. This is live podcasting. It's very... It's live podcasting.
For Hartnell, I wish I'd like to have seen the complete serial for Dalek's Master Plan.
Oh, yes. It would be a toss-up between that and 10th Planet, but 10th Planet just slightly wins for me because of wanting to see that regeneration episode. But yeah, it's a really good shout, yeah.
Well, one episode I'm pretty sure is Polly White, the one I really like to see in its entirety.
The Christmas one.
Yeah, the Feast of Stephen.
Yeah.
Because from what I saw of the reconstruction and what I saw of it, I mean, I was just laughing. I was laughing a lot with that.
I just want to see the Keystone Cops, how they actually managed to make them sort of on a BBC sort of budget at that particular time.
Now, in terms of Second Doctor, I haven't watched it, but the one I've heard most probably people would like to see is probably, is it Power of the Daleks, the first Troughton story?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
the
one that's the one I would pick if I was.
That's winning the vote at the moment.
That's a lot evil, I think, actually.
You'd rather see Evil, Andy?
Yes, because Evil is a classic, because that takes you into history.
Yeah, we've got one episode of that, I think, and it's episode 2.
If I had to pick a second choice, it would be either that or probably Highlanders.
Yeah, that did sort of tickle my mind, but then I thought, no, I really do want to see Troughton's first performance as the Doctor. Rather, obviously, I've heard the audio of it, but I really want to see him how he sort of got into the part with those first six episodes, Power of the Daleks. But yeah, I mean, again, Highlanders. There's so many. I want to see all of them. To be fair, but if you gave me a choice, it would have to be Power.
Well, let me ask the audience: is there any from what have you, for those who've seen Classic Who from first and second Doctor, if you're able to find one story or from the first and second Doctor, who would you guys, what story would y'all like to see?
Silence in the library, or silence will fall. Yeah, sorry.
Tell us who you are. And
I'm Fred Amundsen.
Hello.
Unfortunately, it seems like I may be the oldest one here. Unfortunately,
that's not unfortunate at all.
I remember back in the late '70s, here in Alabama, PBS, every Saturday, they start at the very beginning. Every story arc from the very first Doctor, they show each of them in sequence.
Oh, cool.
All the way to the last up at that time, the last Doctor at that time.
Yeah.
I think so. It was up to that time period.
Yeah.
No, they went up to the, maybe in the mid-80s then, because it was up in like in the 80s. No, they had Tom Baker, they had Davison, they had Collins.
Oh, wow.
And I think they just finished him.
Yeah.
They started the newest one. I think the last Doctor. And they had all the sequence. Every Saturday they showed them.
Yeah.
In this total story arc.
Yeah.
In other words, they cut out the opening part.
Yeah, sequence. Yeah, it's like a omnibus.
But like
sort of
I
thing.
Said, they showed that. And it's like, I wish they'd do that again. Because a lot of these youngsters and such could actually get to see all the classics.
I mean, obviously they are available online if you look for them hard enough. Wink, wink.
But it would be good if someone could persuade BBC to show them all over again. Yeah, worldwide.
Actually, over here are some of our Doctor Who fan clubs have actually got all the episodes.
Oh right, okay, that was good.
I actually got them all myself. I videotaped them off the TV set.
Have there been any like viewings at the convention? I know that's a thing that used to be quite big in conventions, didn't it? There used to be like viewing rooms of stories.
Yeah, they Matthew ran the viewing room. At least I think Matthew was running it. There was the viewing room. I did look into it once or twice. One thing that amused me, you know, how these various meeting rooms have names. I wish they had shown a David Tennant episode, which they did not, because the viewing room's name was Barcelona.
Brilliant.
Good tie in there.
I wanted to take a picture through the door to where you could see the name of the room and David Tennant on the screen, but it didn't happen. let me see what sorts of things they did show while we... I hope we only have 7 minutes left, so I don't know if we're going to get it.
Hopes are failing. Yes.
And also there's more band sounds from next door.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, they showed Listen, Spearhead from Space, The Snowman, Brain of Morbius, Adventure in Space and Time.
Oh, Brain of Morbius. I love that one.
TV movie. They showed the behind the scenes of the 96 movie, The 7-Year Hitch, which I believe is off the DVD.
Uh-huh.
Various other things, Terror of the Autons, thing about the lost episodes, Wilderness Years, and Matthew is coming back.
With bad news, I suspect.
Looks like it.
Oh.
Hang on.
Right,
he's
yes.
coming to the microphone.
Hello.
I'm afraid it is a bit of a bust.
We're still here.
Yes.
We're still here.
I will tell you what I will do, yes. Since I there's been It's not nothing bad or anything, but there's been some circumstances that's meant that Paul is not going to be able to get down here before we'll be able to finish recording. So I will tell you what, I did bring my personal recorder with me earlier today. I will do this for the podcast at least. I will try and, before we lose Paul tomorrow, I will try and record a bumper from him to at least put on the podcast. So
Thank you, everybody
who's been in here for the last hour and a half or so, I can only apologize.
Well, thank you, Matthew. I'm sure they don't mind. They've been listening to us. It's far more entertaining.
Well, I do want to say that every time we do one of these podcasts, the setup gets more elaborate and more professional looking. So kudos to you, Kirby, that I think you're the brains behind this, huh?
Yeah, go back 2 years to
the corridor.
Two years ago when we recorded in a hallway. Yeah, on the wall of the pool at the Holiday Inn.
You demand, Kirby.
Yeah.
Team USA does it again. Brilliant.
So, again, thank you very much for your efforts, Kirby. It's highly appreciated, even if I take the mickey out of you. I love you, really.
Wow.
And that only gets said once a year, so you might want to sort of take a sample of that and play it back to yourself.
Well, we're doing the live podcast twice a year now.
We are, yeah.
Time GT.
All right,
twice a year then. But
if we could just get Kirby up to Chicago.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks everyone, and thanks everybody for coming in and putting up with us for the last couple of hours.
Lovely to meet everybody. Yeah. Have fun for the rest of the con.
Yes,
it's been really good.
It's been so good that Andy's been sat there quietly listening to it in
He's
awe.
He's been sleeping.
Hang on, Dawn, have I been asleep?
Yes.
Dawn's asleep.
Dawn's asleep. She would lie for you. You know that.
No, Americans, it's been great fun. I've been chatting to you guys because obviously you're new Who fans. Thank you very much. Great fun.
Thanks, Andy. Yeah, like I say, great. See you again next year.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Bye. Enjoy the rest. Enjoy the closing ceremony.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Yes. Thank you.
See you.
Bye.
So long, and thanks for all the fish.
We miss
that old chestnut.
Physician, heal thyself.
No, yeah. Very good. Yes. Shame he couldn't say it himself, but never mind. Yes.
Okay.
Are we good?
Okay, I think we're done.
Okay. Thank you, Kirby. Well done, mate. Thank you.
So I have to watch 12 episodes in a week.
Nine. Oh, 12. No, it's 11, isn't it? I thought it was an 11-part story.
It's 11.
No, it's 12.
Oh, was it? Oh, good. An extra episode to the story. Brilliant.
Watch six and then six.
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah. I'll have to get down and watch them myself, so.
Yeah.
But it, all right. The first two I watched, so I really enjoyed, so it won't be hard.
You pack up and get off and enjoy the rest of it. We'll discuss it later, don't worry.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye.
Make Adam change his mind about next week.
What's happening next week?
I don't have time to
watch all episodes. Kirby, just go. We'll sort it out. Go on. You go and enjoy the rest of the evening.
Yes, we'll sort it out. We're doing it. Bye.
Bye, Kirby.
Bye.
All 12, then.
Anyway, right, Len. Sorry. So then, listeners, it does rather look like Debbie's decided that we're not recording until the 2nd of August. How can we record next week if he can't watch all? Sorry, yeah, it's watch, isn't it? Watch all the episodes between now.
Well, why don't we watch watch six and then watch six?
Yeah, I mean six is still a lot of episodes to be quizzed on.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do half and half of the story. That doesn't make sense. Bigger on the inside didn't do that. They did the whole story and
but
nothing
we're bigger
but the story.
On the inside, we're better than that.
Yes.
No,
right.
No. That's not the point. The point is
we're more merciful than they are.
I'm not reviewing half a story.
We're going to struggle to do it all.
Yes, I'm going to do it all or nothing. All or nothing. But anyway, so it might be next week.
We don't know yet.
But it will be the week after at least.
We better know so we can get cracking if it's next week.
No, we'll see how we get on. Let's sort of knuckle down and see what
see
we can
how
do.
We do.
Sorry, my other Mac's just crashed again. It's been good all day. It's decided this evening it's just going to crash every 5 minutes. But until maybe next week or possibly the week after.
Thank you
for listening to the show. Sorry, Paul McGann couldn't be on it. Well, he might be, actually. Get a bumper before... No, it won't be. It'll be, it'll be published for
him. I wanted to tell him how lovely he was.
So did Mary. Don't start a fight, please.
Yes.
We didn't do news or anything. Save that for next week.
We didn't do a quiz.
Save that again for next time.
Sponsors?
Whowon.co.uk. But I said that at the beginning of the show.
Did you?
Yeah. Don't you listen to the beginning of the show.
I think I was...
APV services in association with whowon.co.uk, etc., etc. Yes?
You went to Kirby then.
Yeah. You suddenly went all cyber on us.
Yes, yeah, because my Mac, the other Mac next door to it is dying. Thanks. See you again next week. Maybe next week. Maybe next week. The week after. The week after. Whenever. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Is an APB service production and a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.